You're going to get more diesel now for about 15 minutes. It'll be another diesel message. We read from 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. Now verse 14. For 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Now chapter 10, for a very brief word, chapter 10. Verse 30. If I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Chapter 14, just a brief reading here. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. And over the page to chapter 15 and verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that will do for what I want to speak upon just in these few minutes. I've listened to the announcements of our brethren, and I have also observed the flyer for the conference. And I have noticed that this conference is called a Thanksgiving Conference. And I thought it might be fitting, just at the conclusion of the whole proceedings, and after the happy times that we have spent together, if you would allow me to say just a little word upon the subject of thanksgiving. I do not presume that this is a main topic by any means in the important subjects that are raised in the first epistle to the Corinthians, but it is something that comes up from time to time in the pages of this letter, thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving is very important in a Christian's life. Indeed, I have come to the conclusion that if you can find a believer who constantly cultivates a grateful spirit, it diffuses many a problem. It's easy to become crotchety, and it's easy to become awkward. But wherever you have a Christian just thankful, you know, a thankful people are a happy people. A thankful people will be a holy people. A thankful people will be a harmonious people. Now, we have to give attention to this subject of thanksgiving for two reasons. Reason number one is that we are living in a very ungrateful world. In this western and northern hemisphere, people never had so much. Beautiful homes, plenty of food, little want, a tremendous amount of waste, and a minimum of thanksgiving. Now, we have enjoyed the comforts of the other building. We have enjoyed good food. The Apostle Paul speaks in chapter 10 about giving thanks for food. And in the midst of an ungrateful world, because you remember that the Apostle Paul, as he treats that spiral, descending spiral of sin in Romans chapter 1, he talks about ingratitude, and ingratitude which led to idolatry, and idolatry which led to immorality, and immorality which led to deeper iniquity. And the start of the slide was ingratitude. And in the midst of a world of ingratitude, may God ever keep us as a thankful people. 'Tis we, O Lord, whom thou hast shown the deadly bitterness of sin, we who forgiving love have known, may fitly bring thank offerings. And I've noticed nowadays in stores and that, people would hardly even thank you if you hold a door. We belong to the generation of spoiled brats. And may God help us to be thankful people. Thankful for our food. Thankful for our clothing. Thankful for material things. For, says the Apostle Paul, it would be too bad if I should be evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks. And he's talking in the context about the eating of food. The second reason that we need to carefully think of this subject of thanksgiving is we're going to be at it forever. You'll soon not need any more prayer meetings. And soon these fellows that are preachers, they'll be out of a job. Praying and preaching will soon be over. And may God help us that what we are going to be doing forever, may we be encouraged to practice it as much as possible while we're still on earth. Soon in glory, bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer, rapture, praise, and endless worship shall be our sweet portion there. Now, if the world around us is unthankful, if we are going to be thankful forever, I think that we should be a thankful people here and now. Actually, I'm very glad that our brother said the meeting wasn't being taped, because I'm going to give you just a number of Greek words now. And if anyone would ever hear a tape and hear a pile of Greek words, they might wonder, had the gift of tongues descended upon us in a very unorthodox fashion. But I want you to listen to these words. Chara. Charis. Eucharistia. Now you say they sound a bit alike. They certainly do. They're all from the one root. Chara, charis, eucharistia. Now the first word means joy. The second word means grace. And the third word means thanksgiving. And that's one of the great triplets of the Greek New Testament. Wherever people appreciate grace, grace will produce gladness. Grace plus gladness produces gratitude, and chara charis eucharistia. They are a beautiful triplet just in the New Testament language. Now, we're thankful for salvation, of course. We'd be thankful for that. But then the Apostle Paul said in chapter 1 of this letter, he said, every time I think about the assembly at Corinth, he said, I thank God. He said, I thank God for that assembly. He said, whether we call it a building, or whether we call it a chaste virgin, or whether we call it a flock, he said, when I think of the church of God which is at Corinth, he said, I... And you say, sure, look at the trouble they had. Sure, they were in a mess. Look at the problems they had. Sure, it took them 15 chapters to try and get them sorted out, and even in the second epistle there were still some of them not sorted out, and they had enormous problems, social problems, moral problems, doctrinal. You know, Paul said it might well be, but he said, I still thank God for it. He said, I remember when I went there a few years ago to that city, and he said there was no such thing. And he said, I know you have problems. And he said, the grace of God has brought you out of the law. And he said, you've been gathered together in assembly fellowship, and you have been enriched in utterance. And he said, there's a group of people in the city of Corinth, and they're talking language that they wouldn't have talked 5 years ago. And he says, they have a knowledge of spiritual truth that they didn't have 5 years ago, because they were heathens. And he said, with all their problems, when I think about it, he said, I can't help but thank God. You know, can I just encourage us with what both our brother have been saying, and especially what our brother Hull has just said. Dear brethren and sisters, be thankful for food, thankful for clothing, thankful 10 times over for God's glorious salvation. But let us also be thankful for the assembly. You know, sometimes It's my lot, as I'm sure yours, we have to attend the funeral of a friend. And you maybe have to go to one of these institutions of religion. And you know, they're so stiff. And the candles, and the cloaks, and the religiosity, and the formality, and the man-made institutions. When you come away, you just say within your heart again, thank God for the assembly. It is problems, and we're not perfect. We would love to be more spiritual. You could tell me about difficulties at Victoria Road. Tell me, some of you people, if it wasn't here, what would you do? If you didn't have the meetings to go to and gather to the precious name of the Lord Jesus, if we didn't have it, may God make us more thankful that in the midst of a world of Babylonish confusion, that there are still companies gathered in simple simplicity to the glorious name of the Lord Jesus. And I would think, maybe, actually, there's a fair chance. If a person's really thankful for the assembly, well, there's a fair chance they'll be at all the meetings, won't they? You maybe manage to get him to the prayer meeting. He might make it. And if a person's really thankful for the assembly, he'd be very careful about bringing anything into it that would upset it or reduce its spiritual quality. I tell you, brethren and sisters, as the dispensation carries through to a close, and as the clouds thicken and the days darken, we should be thankful that there's such a place, even with our problems. Never let us. Oh, my! I know our brother has given some very straight ministry there, and we need it all. And the shambles of Shiloh, God left the site derelict to show his displeasure with the shenanigans that were going on there. I know we've got all that, and the ministry of the judges, we need every single inch of it. But let us not think that everything's gone. Not at all. I tell you, let us be positive as we're just about to part. We have God, we have Christ, we have salvation, we have many material benefits, and we have the spiritual security of an assembly. May God help us to be thankful for it more than ever. Put your best into it, for there's nothing else worth thinking about. Then, we turn up the revs just a little more now and conclude it very quickly. I want to come to another strange little piece of thanksgiving which the Apostle Paul mentions here. He says now, there was something happened when I was there with you people. He said, when you were getting baptized, he said, I only baptized two of you. Now he says, it wasn't maybe intentional at the time. And he said, although I only baptized two of you, he said, I didn't think any big deal of it. But he said, now after a number of years have passed, and he said, the way things have gone, he says, when I look back, he says, I thank God the way it happened. I didn't think at the time, but he said, now I can thank God that there was just two, for he said, you'd have had a big party of Paul. I'd said, oh, Paul, put us into the water. We were well dipped and we were well baptized. And he said, there was only two of you. You know, sometimes, dear brethren and sisters, let us just move it a little bit. Sometimes things happen in your life, and they're not just easily explained, and they're not so comfortable. And sometimes you're a little bit bewildered with the turn of events. Can I say just this? If we have time to wait on God, there maybe comes a stage where we can look back and we can thank God that it was just like that. You know, I was telling them lately here, back at home, and forgive me for this little personal reference, I wasn't that long saved. There was another fellow in the meeting, and he'd been in a little while before me, and there was a job that we both were intending to have, and he got the job. I missed it. I was a little bit miffed at that. Because I would have liked the job. I thought it was a handy number, and I just wanted it, and I was annoyed. Not so much annoyed at him, but just annoyed that I missed it. You know, I'm not a bit annoyed tonight. That younger chap had a better grasp of these things than I had at the time. And he could take meetings when I was only giving out hymns. But I want to tell you now, he's not in the assembly tonight. And you know what took him on the wrong road? It was the job he got. And it was the job that I wanted, and it was the job that I wasn't too well pleased that I missed. But you know, looking back, I can thank God for the way things turned out. In his mercy. Dear brethren and sisters, at times things happen and we just cannot explain the reason why, but with the benefit of hindsight, we can bless the hand that guided and we can bless the heart that planned. He says, I thank God. And then he makes another reference to thanksgiving as I almost conclude. He's talking about taking public part. Now he says, brethren, listen. He says, when you give thanks, he says, speak in such a way that all the other members of the congregation will be able to hear you. And he said, when you have come to the end of your thanksgiving, he said, the members who haven't been speaking publicly, the brethren will be able to say, Amen. You know, I love to hear people saying, Amen. When our brother has finished giving thanks. I can't make a complaint about Canada, but if you let me tell tales out of school, there are places in Ireland, and when a man has finished giving thanks, you would think he had just committed a crime. There's such a stony silence, and I have said to myself, you get a little bit hardened as you go along the bumps of the road, and it doesn't worry you so much. You know, you want to see the frowns and faces that you have when you're preaching and so on. But when you're just, I've said to myself at times, if I was a young believer, and with all the nervousness and the build-up, and I tried to give thanks, and when I had finished there was a stony silence like that, I would say, well, that's the end of that. Dear brethren, if a man gives thanks and if he does it well, I mean, if you can agree with him, it's your duty when he has finished to say, Amen. You see, we say, this is the way we pray. It's not strictly right, but keep at it. We'll not make a man offender for a word, but we pray. We give thee thanks, O Lord, for all these mercies and blessings which thou hast conferred upon us. We ask thee to receive our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's not right, strictly speaking. The man who gives thanks should never say Amen. What should happen is, we give thanks to thee for all these mercies and acknowledge thy goodness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the whole congregation should say, Amen. He doesn't say Amen to his own thanksgiving at all. Well, of course he does. Of course he does. If I don't say Amen, I'm really making a statement saying, he gave thanks, but I don't agree with it. God has put this beautiful Hebrew word into even the Canadian language. And I would encourage you, dear brethren, use it well. It gives warmth to a meeting. We're not Pentecostals and charismatics and all that kind of thing. But her brother was talking about enthusiasm and all that matter. I don't like excitement or emotionalism, but a little bit of heart. May God help us. When thanks is given, may we say Amen. And Amen means, let it be so. And Amen means, it shall be so. And Amen means, it is so. And we can put the signature of our hearty fellowship. Well, keep giving thanks and keep saying Amen. May God help us to be thankful after this good weekend. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I can hear someone say, well, you know, it's all right for you. And with a glib tongue you talk about thanksgiving. If you knew the problems in my life, it would take the talk out of your tongue. And it's all right talking about being thankful. You know, you've heard the story 2,136 times about Matthew Henry, and he got robbed. And I don't want to be insensitive to these dear folks about whom we have heard, but he got robbed. And he wrote in his diary the next day that he gave God quadruple thanksgiving. Thanked him four times over. He thanked him, first of all, that though he was robbed yesterday, he never had been robbed before. Reason number two was that though they robbed him yesterday and took his purse, there wasn't very much in it. Reason number three was he thanked God that though he was robbed yesterday, they took his purse with a little in it, they didn't do him any bodily harm. And reason number four was that he thanked God, even though he had been robbed yesterday, they robbed him and not somebody else. So there was a man thankful in the midst of strange circumstances. Well, I know it's tough. But dear brethren, it's great to know there's a day when the clouds will all be cleared. And when every burden will fall. And the last sorrow, we will say goodbye. And 1 Corinthians finishes almost on this note. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We belong, we heard the other day, was it, about the conquering Christ. You know, death brings its sorrow, and it does bring its separations. My dear brethren and sisters, on the evening of this Thanksgiving conference, we look across the horizon to the Maranatha morning, the cloudless dawn, the great day of rapture, resurrection, and reunion. And we say, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord. You never put the Christian flag at half-mast. Never drop the banner. Keep it flying in full glory, because the victory is ours through Christ. May God make us a Thanksgiving cup. There's time to stop. Somebody's bleeped me off here. So you'll be thankful, I'll stop, and may we be thankful forevermore.